Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a question that has plagued parents for a century.
What's that?
And it's one that has nothing to do with your own kids. No matter the answer, it's going to cause problems. If you say nothing, you spend a fortune. If you say something, you could look like a massive dick.
Yeah.
And proof of that is what this woman says a neighbor sent to her when they decided their child had racked up a food bill that needed to be taken care of. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So, if you are a regular break room listener, you know, someone that's cool.
Yeah, man.
You caught Where They Whinin' on Tuesday. And in that Where They Whinin', you heard a post from the town of Hilton begging for help with one of the oldest problems parents face in the summertime. Neighborhood kids eating all of your groceries.
Yes.
This is just some of what this person was upset about on Tuesday.
Guys, I'm at a loss for words. For the third week in a row, my son's friends have cleaned out our pantry within 24 hours of our weekly shopping trip. $250 down the drain after one sleepover. I'm about ready to put a padlock on the fridge. What are other parents' policies on letting your child's friends help themselves to your food?
Okay, you can pull that down there, Jimmy. Thank you. So we spent that discussion trying to figure out where the post was from, because that's a goal of Where They Whinin'.
Yeah.
And we told you, Hilton. But after that was all over, we got a bunch of Facebook messages from, it seems, parents who have been on both sides of this.
Oh.
Tommy, it's hard to know what to do here.
Okay.
And this Facebook message we have in front of us shows some parents may be willing to go to the extreme.
Wow.
Anna writes us. I know.
Anna.
Wow. Anna writes, quote, "My son is in college now, but when he was 15, the mom of his best friend, out of the blue, texted me an itemized bill for all of the food she says he ate at her house. The boys were playing lacrosse and basketball every day, so of course they were working up an appetite, but her son was also cleaning out my fridge when they were at my house. I couldn't believe it, and it made things very awkward between our two families. I ended up paying it to keep the peace, and I couldn't tell my son to stay away from this boy who he had been best friends with for years, but I didn't want to be around that woman or my son around that woman. I saved the text. I'll keep it forever, just for something to laugh at." And she sent along a screenshot of this itemized bill.
No kidding.
Bro, it's from the notes and iPhone.
Yeah.
And it's literally itemized, like, down to
the
penny.
How much stuff is on there?
So, okay, I'll give you a couple. Okay. It's roast beef, $3.50. Box of Hot Pockets, $5.25.
The whole box?
I mean, he is a 15-year-old.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Sunny Delight, $3.
Sunny D.
Box of Waffles, $3.25. And it goes down from there.
All right.
For a grand total of $27.75.
So is that over the week's time, I guess?
I do not have a time period to give you.
All right.
But she sent...
I don't think I'm chasing down $27.
You think that money's not enough?
No. I mean, because it makes you look like such a chintz ass.
Unless she was sending a bill for like $27 to every kid in the neighborhood.
Yeah, like splitting it up.
Because if that's five kids, now you're looking at like $150.
I mean, that I could see maybe. But I would just like... It's a bad look for you to say, "Hey, man, your kid ate at my house. You owe me."
I agree with you. But on the other hand, it does cost an insane amount of money.
Not only the cost, but I'm thinking for most parents, it's the inconvenience of like opening up the fridge and it's like, oh, crap, I got to run to the store. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
You're going on
multiple grocery runs a week, only to be surprised every time you open up your fridge.
And, like, look, I will say this, because I do have memories of being 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
You had no regard for anybody's...
No, but he ate like a machine.
Family meals.
Well, and it wasn't just me.
He's not alone.
Look, it's not only that I had no regard, Kimmy. There was no full. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. I could eat until all of the food was gone, and then go eat more food.
I know, I watched you.
There was...
And between you and your backup boy there, your brother...
Backup boy?
Yeah.
Bro, no, like my poor parents, man. All right. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. What do you do when you're being eaten out of house and home by your kids' friends? Because, Tommy, there aren't many options.
Well, that's, I mean, as far as how do I recoup the loss of my roast beef?
Well, if you're going to at all, I mean, the best move, I agree with you, is just to let the kids eat.
But I would scale back what I keep in my house as far as what is available.
Oh,
if I know this is happening,
okay,
yeah. I'm going the cheap route. I'm going your Aldi's. I'm going to get you roast beef that is questionable.
But that doesn't keep food in your house.
I would lower what I'm spending.
I know what you're saying, but I don't know if that doesn't really solve any problems.
By the way, you're assuming that these people aren't already shopping at these places.
All right.
My parents were shopping at those places. It didn't mean that, like, they weren't saving money by me eating all of it. And by the way, the roast beef at Aldi's, quality roast beef. It's quality Aldi's roast beef.
Why'd you say it twice?
Okay, it is. It's delicious.
Yes, it's that good.
I grew up fine. Okay, so wait, your thing is to just buy cheaper food.
I would go like,
hey, everybody struggling. Tommy says go buy cheaper food.
I would go Chintz. I would go like Chintzy beef and like low end.
Chintzy beef was one of my favorite porn stars in the 70s. Okay, that's not an option. Because a lot of people are already doing that.
All right, so I'm already down to Price Busters, whatever the hell it is.
Price Busters.
Okay, so I'm down to that. And there's so what do I do? I got to be a bouncer. I got to, like, charge a cover to come into my house.
That's what
I'm
asking.
I got to set up a stool.
That's what I'm asking.
Hide the food. That would be the only solution where you're not, you don't have to worry
about it. You can't hide food. How you hide roast beef? Where you hiding it, lady?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're going to be walking funny.
Maybe not so much the stuff in the fridge, but the snacks you might be able to find another spot for. I don't know.
Look, I mean, the numbers we see now with grocery stores, right? We've seen people shopping at different places in, like, we haven't seen in years. They're already trying to stretch their food budget. Mm. Maybe it's different now than it was back in the day where folks could just, like, allow people to, the kids to eat whatever they want. Like, yeah. Maybe you legitimately can't afford it. But at the same time, Tommy, I agree with you. This Facebook message where the woman is charging her son's friends seems like the wrong thing to
do.
I mean, if you had a discussion with the other parents, like, hey, do we all want to chip in?
Like, you got to come up with a neighborhood food budget
for the summer? Is that the worst idea? I mean, what's the other option? Let's think outside the box here because this is a serious problem. Like, if you all threw in $20 a week and split the food amongst
I guess you would have to have somebody like taking control of that situation and distributing. You'd have to all agree on what's being purchased. I don't know. It sounds like a good idea in theory, but I don't know how many people would cooperate and make that an easy thing to do.
Okay. My mother might have come up with the actual solution here.
Your mama.
It's
hard. It's hard, but all
right, well,
tell you in a sec. 252-WCMF. Folks are waiting on hold. Facebook message we got from a woman off of our Where They Whinin' from Tuesday with a person from Hilton was bitching about how all the neighborhood kids, their friends, were eating them out of house and home. What do I do? Anna writes us and says when her son was 15, she got a bill from the mother of her son's best friend for $27. And I got the bill in front of me. $27.75 itemized for all the things that he was eating at the house. And she said it was awkward and uncomfortable, but she paid it just to get rid of it. But it made things weird.
Yeah.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Ben. Hey, Ben. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Good, man. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm not doing the Where They Whining, or not Where They Whining, Bitch Voice Theater voiceover, just because you guys don't want me to anyway.
Nobody asked you, Ben, but thank you. Hey, Ben, are you willing to help us design a cure for cancer as well that nobody asked you to do?
Yeah, I'm too dumb for that.
Yeah, we got it.
What?
Anyways, so when I was in high school, I was the kid that would always come over, but what they would do with me is they would feed me the leftovers from, like, the previous week. So, which I had no problem with. I didn't care. I'm, 15, 16 years old. I'm going to eat whatever you put in front of me.
All right.
He's leftover bitch.
And then also, my parents actually did put a padlock on the freezer because we had venison in there. And that's all me and my younger brother wanted to eat was venison.
Wait, they put a padlock on the freezer?
Just, on the
just
deer
because
meat.
Of you guys?
Because of the deer meat?
Yes, just because of us. Because we'd wake up, for lunch, we would want to eat venison for dinner, for like pre-dinner.
I do like baby meat. I'm kind of
wake up from my midday nap. Jonesing for some venison.
I wouldn't think you'd have to worry about that with a bunch of teenage boys because they're not cooking that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I would think the easiest meals and snacks go first.
Yeah.
I don't know. Venison's the best.
Right,
that's what I always went for, but yeah.
Bed, thanks for the call,
buddy. Padlock idea is a good idea.
Well, it's funny. I can't.
Could you think of you as a 16-year-old kid cooking venison?
No, I'm the wrong guy to ask. Yeah. Yes, I would have made a venison sausage.
Like you're chopping onions and getting out the oils and everything.
Oh, I just would have fried a sausage.
Oh.
Oh, all right.
By the way, Ben just brought up the padlock. We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF for the Break Room Facebook page. Blake writes us, my mom put a padlock on the fridge, locked the fridge. She worked around the corner and would come home for lunch and unlock the fridge for us. Now I hear this and I'm living on my own and I understand, but my brother and I got made fun of a lot because of it. They called us the padlock pad. Is padlock too far?
Yes. You look ridiculous.
I mean, it would be weird explaining that to other people. I locked my kids out of our food supply.
It would weird me out if I came to somebody's house and I saw a padlock on the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Extreme times call for extreme circumstances.
It's not that extreme, man.
Bro, you don't know what it costs to feed kids.
You don't know what it's like to be poor, Tommy.
You don't?
I had nothing.
We didn't.
Nothing. We had one slice of roast beef. We had to pass it around. We each got to lick it once. Just to put the taste of beef on my lips was enough. Thank you, kind sir.
All right, looks like this padlock.
You sound like you're raising it to 30.
No, bro, but that's just it. You don't have to be on the balls of your ass to understand how much of your budget is chopped up by kids, especially not your kids, eating your food. By the way, going down the padlock road, another Facebook message. Christine writes, my husband rigged up a master lock with a combination on the fridge and freezer, and my oldest daughter was the only one with the combination. I would take out breakfast before work. She would open the fridge twice a day for her brothers for lunch and a snack, and I would pay her an allowance to keep the combination a
secret. It's like you're running a prison system.
It is. It's very complicated.
My God.
How many padlocked fridges are there? Do they sell fridges with padlocks already?
They should make them
built in.
I think they do make refrigerators that you can lock at certain times of the day, right? It's for people to stop themselves from eating at night.
Is that true?
I'm almost positive
for, like,
that exists. Like, you can lock the fridge.
Maybe. Yeah, they're fat. They're fatty. So, like, you would have to have, like, eyeball recognition or something, like, to open it up.
That seems like it's going to mess your kid up down the road.
That's sad. Don't do that. Feed your child.
Okay, so my mother might have come up with the best
solution.
Yeah,
so what'd she do?
Okay, so it got to a point when I was in high school, and my mom worked at Wegmans at the time.
Yeah.
She would bring home stuff every night just to make dinner and to eat the next day.
So there wouldn't be anything hanging around.
You got it, yeah.
So she shopped basically daily.
Yeah, it's essentially, yes. It was like she was an old Italian woman going to the market, right? Mm. And it must have been a pain in the ass, but she rightfully knew, right? Like,
yeah, just cut off the supply.
Yes, it's like cocaine. The second that she put groceries in the fridge, those groceries are going to be gone.
Right.
And my poor mother, she's a saint, right? The angriest my mother ever got with me, both times I can remember, involved eating groceries as a teenager.
Yeah.
One time I ate an entire family Encore Salisbury steak frozen dinner.
That's that big, deep dish.
Yeah, it was six Salisbury steaks.
And in gravy.
In gravy. And I ate it all by myself with a half a loaf of bread that I was, like, sopping up the rest of the gravy with. Oh, man, that was good.
Man, the amount of salt you took in one sitting. Oh, my God.
Bro, I will never forget, man. It was after football practice. I was just starving. I'm like, I'll make this. I put it in the oven. I take it out. She came home. She was going to make it for dinner.
Oh, God.
Right? And she lost it. But she got even more upset. There was one day I ate an entire box of Eggo waffles for lunch.
for lunch.
So that's like, what, 12?
I can't. It was bigger than the regular box.
So it's a full sleeve.
So it must have been like family size.
That's got to be 12. Got to be a full sleeve.
Yeah, because normally there's 8, but it was a bigger box. Right. So they were the cinnamon Eggos, which are the best Eggos.
So you just were popping them in and eating them like, what, candy?
So we had a four toaster. Yeah, yeah, right. So I started with four. Not a mala.
Wait, you ate four at once?
Well, not like at one time. And then I have another four. Then so it probably was 12. So my mother comes home and I left the empty box in the freezer.
Oh my god!
You are
what
such
a dick move.
I know.
My mother comes in. Yeah. She comes home from work. Hi. I hear slams the freezer shut. She comes around the corner. I'm in the living room. She's got the empty box of Eggos. And she goes, "Did you eat this? Did you eat this?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "You open them up and eat them." I go, "Yeah." She goes, "I see ya." Rolling up the waffles like they're doobies, and she's serious.
Doobies.
Like they're doobies, and she's like on the verge of like crying. She's so upset, and like I was like 16. It was the funniest thing I had ever seen.
Could you not?
I couldn't help but laugh in her face. I laughed at
your
her face.
Poor mother.
She said, "Rolling up the waffles like doobies." How do you not laugh in that face?
I would too, but goddamn, man, what a pig.
It's not uncommon.
Thank
I think
you.
Every parent, especially
boys
a parent of
pigs.
Teenage boys.
But they're pigs.
Like, I remember my brother and his one buddy, they wouldn't even heat stuff up. They would eat it frozen out of the... Like, they would eat those Eggo waffles frozen.
How?
I don't know.
That's disgusting.
We had, like, these bagel dogs, these frozen bagel dogs that my parents would buy. That, like you said, they would just take it out and eat it frozen. Like, maybe they'd pop it in the microwave, but they didn't even wait long enough for it to be, like, all the way warmed up.
What does that do to your system?
No, we all seem fine now, right?
No, but you ate, like, 12 Eggo waffles. I imagine they've never studied a human being, like, at the Duke Institute of, like, waffles.
The Duke Institute of Waffles? Where can I sign up for that school?
But what it does to you. Like, I don't even know what it does to, like, your turds. I want to know what a turd looks like after it's processed an entire Salisbury steak dinner for six.
I'll tell you this. When I was a teenager...
He probably didn't poop for days.
Well, no, I'll tell you this. When I was a teenager, every time I pooped, it hurt.
It would have to.
That's the question.
It would have to hurt. Like those... Like your turds had to look like a baby's arm holding a plum.
All right, so we have no answer other than locking up your fridge and
hiding
only
the
buying
food.
Stuff for that day.
I think your mother's right, though. Just cut the supply off. Well, like, just have a day's supply of food in the house.
But then it doesn't do anybody any good.
Well, you have to shop every day, but you're not blowing through all your budget.
And it also costs you more money, right? Because you're not going to be able to spread the ingredients over a couple of days.
Right.
So... And my mother worked at Wegmans at the time. Like, she
so
was
she
able
could
to
walk
leave,
home with it.
Which, well, yeah, and it still sucks. She still had to spend an extra 40 minutes after work where she worked. Mm. But, like, yeah, I mean, my wife, she's working all day, right? Like, she's going to leave her office, stop at a grocery store?
I have one quick question.
Sure, sure, sure.
Do girls eat like boys at that age?
Not like boys?
No, I remember, like, I had one friend who was known to clean out people's leftovers.
A girl.
What?
A girl.
Yeah.
Wow. What?
I don't know why you would say that, knowing what you have sitting across from you. I had one girlfriend that was known to clean out an entire fridge of leftovers. You know what? When it comes, my girls will clean out the fridge of the stuff that they like. That's what's unique about it. My daughters are picky.
I will say, like, I was probably, I could snack, but it was only certain things.
Right.
Like, I didn't eat just anything.
My brother and I would eat whatever was in there. Where my girls will, if they like it, they'll clean it out. If they don't, they'll leave it.
Okay.
So, got that.
So, if you got boys coming, you're screwed.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. Locusts. I mean, that's the perfect description. They are like locusts. Mm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy, you're not going to like this. What, do with this show? Put your headphones on for God's sake.
I had water in my pants.
Do we know where the water came from?
My water bottle.
Okay. You're not going to like this.
Whatever.
But this man is 100% right. And he has a plan to make getting on a plane much less dangerous.
Well, that's good.
Not like dangerous, like the plane won't crash. More in a way like passengers won't have to hold down someone for the duration of the flight. Because when you stand back and look at the system we have now, it is insane that this is unregulated. And there are now numbers to prove that it's causing a major safety and financial issue.
So what's the problem?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. When you jump on a flight, there are things you see at every airport. You go through TSA, that's going to be there. Mm-hmm. You can get a $9 bottle of water at that Hudson newsstand.
I know.
And there will be an airport bar that will serve you all you'd like to drink.
And usually it's packed.
Yep. Well, that last part could be changing.
And it's open early.
He does. He's not even listening. He's thinking the bar, and he stopped listening to what I'm saying.
He wants to tell you the hours of operation.
The all-you-can-drink plan at the airport might be going away.
What do you mean? I'm paying. It's not open bar.
I would think the prices alone kind of prevent some people from doing that.
You got a budget.
Okay.
But you cut back on other things, like nutrition.
Are you familiar with Ryanair?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's an...
They're a discount, they're European.
Yeah, a discount Irish airline. So the CEO for Ryanair says something needs to be done about drunken passengers.
How the hell is the Irish airline cutting back?
Well, that makes more sense.
If the Irish are worried about it, it's a major problem. So fun fact, the number of, quote, unruly passengers on planes has been on a steady increase for the last 5 years.
Oh.
Right now, there is one unruly passenger incident for every 480 flights.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
Until you discover, in the U.S. alone, there are 45,000 flights a day. One in every 480 flights.
Your chances of running into an issue like this on a plane are pretty high.
All right.
So... this man has a plan to cut down on the problem.
What did I say?
He is proposing...
This Ryanair guy.
Yes. He's proposing a 2-drink limit for every person that walks into an airport.
So that's airport. That's not even just the flight.
No. It's from the start of your flight to wherever you're going.
Okay, in air.
Yeah. No. 2 drinks even at the airport.
Oh, so it's 2 drinks.
From the moment you enter...
into the airport, that's it.
To your destination.
Yes, from the moment you enter TSA...
How do they track that?
Yeah. So he has a plan.
Well, I guess they could track it with your credit card.
No. He says, if you want to drink, his plan is this. If you want to drink, when you go through TSA, you have to say, I would like to drink, and they will give you a passbook, much like a passport, where they will stamp your passbook. And once you hit 2 drinks, you can no longer be served again at any airport or on any plane. And this man says there are legit consequences to the system that we have now. Not just people being scared by someone going nuts, but those incidents that we see on video all the time on social media have caused massive delays for airlines.
Oh, yeah.
Flights need to be redirected to different cities. People are forced to stay on planes while the cops come on and arrest the suspect after landing. That screws up the route for that day. It causes passengers to miss connections. And he says it costs the airlines a fortune every single year. You're making a face.
Yeah, man.
Why are you making a face?
You're messing with my groove. Like, I like getting to the airport, especially if I have, there's nothing better than if you get to one of these big airports. Like, if I fly from here, let's say I leave here at 6.
Yeah.
I'm usually at JFK by 7:30.
Okay.
I can find a place to have a little morning sun and my coffee.
Yeah, you can get your 2 drinks and you're good.
No, but then I got all day. I like to have a little something at lunch.
Yeah.
Or pre-lunch. Mm-hmm. There's just something about having cocktails during the day. It's fun.
Okay.
How many would you say you drink, though? I mean, like, how many do you put down for a trip somewhere?
When I was single, nobody was monitoring me.
Yeah.
It would be nonstop.
Okay.
But, like, what's not, like, 5?
So when I used to fly out of here on JetBlue, I would be in West Palm Beach by noon.
Okay. Yeah.
I would already have 4.
Okay.
So you literally are arguing this man's point.
No, but I wasn't stopping anything or hurting anybody. I wasn't causing delays. I was contributing to society.
Okay.
Alcohol Society.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Are you cool with the two-drink air flight minimum? And again, that's on the ground and in the air from the moment you enter TSA to the moment you end up at your destination. Look, man, he's right. It's insane that we've had this system for as long as we've had it.
Because we were all cool at one point.
No, we weren't cool.
No, back in the day we didn't have this stuff.
Yes. Well, or
everybody put on, everybody dressed nice at the airport.
Maybe they were just as high. The planes just went down at a higher rate. Because look, it's insane you're allowed to drink at the airport at all.
Why? Why is that insane?
Think of all the things you're not allowed to bring into or do at an airport, right? But get totally blasted is not one of those things. And don't call and make the argument that the airport bar will cut you off, because they rarely do. I've never seen it. Have you ever seen someone get cut off in an airport bar?
I've never been cut off. And usually when I go to the airport, I'll order a scotch.
Yeah.
And then it'll go, $2, you want to double it.
Okay, he always brings up the $2.
Well, because people don't know, it's one of the best deals. So I would usually have two doubles.
In one sitting?
Like four drinks.
So you're having four drinks at the bar before you get on your plane.
And then when I would get, and then when I'm in flight, I would just ask, you know, when they come around, I would ask for two, because it's those little bottles, right?
So from the moment, that's a serving. So from the moment you entered the airport till the moment the plane touched down in West Palm Beach, you had six drinks.
No, because I get one more of those. So I would have eight drinks, because I would get another double. I would do two doubles at the airport, two in flight. But I was also eating a bag of chips. So I was balancing it out. And so I would have eight cocktails.
Yeah,
I mean, eight shots, not eight drinks.
No, that's a drink. Old man Rafe. Okay,
barely enough to wet your lips. You call that a drink?
252-WCMF, 252-9263. 252-9263, the CEO of an Irish airline.
So the Irish are disappointing me, man.
Is proposing.
Y'all were cool.
A two drink maximum. From start of your trip to end of your trip when you are flying, he says that the unruly drunken passengers have become a serious problem. Again, one in every 480 flights has an unruly passenger incident in the last year. There are 45,000 flights a day just in the United States. So that is a hell of a lot of people. And he says it's costing people time, it's costing airlines money, and something has to change. And I know your argument, Tommy, every time we talk about drinking in an airport. People are tense.
They need
a drink when they fly.
Take the edge off.
I do think a lot of people drink because of their nerves.
Okay.
Which would make me, I guess my question would be, would this, if you made this a minimum, maybe it cuts down on unruly passengers due to alcohol, but are those people going to replace it with like medication and drugs that like also make them a little wacky?
If you have a prescription, there's nothing you can do about that. By the way, you're also assuming those people aren't taking drugs and drinking at the same time. Which could
be that was an option.
Causing that thing. Look, the argument that people are tense is also an argument against alcohol in airports, because adding alcohol to a tense situation is not good in any other aspect of life. It's literally fuel on a fire. And the airport magnifies every issue you already have. Vacations are stressful on a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
You want to fill those people with alcohol?
Relationships are stressful on relationships.
Delayed flights will cause people to be late or miss events they paid a fortune to be at. You want to add alcohol to that situation? And then, after they're
To be answering these?
And then, after they're nice and drunk, you put them in a metal tube, 10,000 feet in the air. By the way, most planes only have two employees, and those employees most of the time are women and small women, because they have to fit up and down the aisle of the plane. And let's hope for the best. It's dumb, it's dangerous, and it needs to change. And this is coming from a guy here who hates to fly and loves to drink.
I know you do.
Bro, like if I got drunk and freaked out on a flight, are there any stewardesses, two of them, that you think can hold me down?
Well, those dudes could.
What dudes?
The dude.
Stewards?
Stewardess.
Okay. Dude. I was just flying. Yeah. I didn't see a male steward on any of my flights the entire trip. Yeah,
I've
it was all women.
Male stewards.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, they're there, but they're more rare than.
Well, they're also slight men. I mean, they're not big, burly guys, to your point. You can't
they're
be like
a bunch of Tommies.
Yeah, you can't have Richie Incognito serving you drinks with his big sausage hands.
That's what I mean. Like, you're built to be a steward, right?
I'm built to fly.
I feel like that would be like your dream job, actually.
He's already got the shoes for it.
No, but I didn't get into the booze.
Okay. But like, think about this. Like, let's say I got drunk, freaked out on the plane, which is possible because I hate flying. Two of you could not hold me down.
Well, they could if they had like those stun guns. But yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. 252-WCMF. I mean, there are other options, I guess, other than drinking.
But don't spoil us all. I mean, hurt us all.
Don't punish all of us.
Yeah, that guy. That's the guy I'm thinking of.
Let's talk to Skyler. Hey, Skyler, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I mean, I hate to fly, too, and I hate this idea. But
yeah, you sound drunk all the time.
Shut up. I just woke up. I'm late listening to the break room today. So I don't know if it's different between different airlines, because I flew to New York City a couple times with my buddy, and he brought a Ziploc baggie full of them little bottles, and they didn't say a word, and we just drank tons of it.
Oh, okay, so here's the thing. It's not implemented yet. This is a proposal to implement the two-drink limit.
Oh, okay. Well, my other buddy, he quit drinking on his own because he was out of control. I'm really proud of him. And he works on the road. Like, he's home like 5 weekends a year. He's just always in another state. And they flew him out to Alaska. He ate a 1/4 ounce of mushrooms in the airport before he got on the plane to Alaska.
Oh my God.
Seems like a bold move, where that's going.
Why would you do that?
That's what I said. I eat mushrooms commonly or whatever, but I don't want to be in a plane and I'm like on a mushroom. Oh my God.
That seems
you're eating
a bad
them commonly.
Idea.
So.
Would you like some kinds of mushrooms? No, I'll take the common ones. Thank you.
I definitely don't want to be the guy next to him. He's probably just watching porn on his phone or something.
Oh, jeez.
Skyler, thanks for the call, buddy. I can't think of a worse drug to take on an airplane.
Yeah, that seems like a terrible idea.
Oh, yes. My God.
That's if you can even find your way to your plane.
So it's funny, you know, talk about this CEO of this Irish airline proposing the 2-drink maximum every air travel flight you take. And again, it's from the moment you leave your destination to the moment, or your departure to the moment you get to your destination. They talk to other people in this article who think this is a good idea. Mm. And they specifically cite airport lounges as to why this needs to happen. So for those, you're familiar with airport lounges.
You're talking about those like VIP lounges?
Yes. So they used to be just for first class passengers, right? And it's like a club you go to and it's all you can eat and it's all you can drink. So then they made them just for international passengers. Mm-hmm. And then within the last couple of years, depending on what credit card you have, Chase, American Express.
It's like one of the benefits they sell you on.
Yeah, you have access. Yeah.
And in almost every major airport in America, they have these lounges. Yeah. And you get to walk in and eat and have an open bar. Mm-hmm. An open bar at the airport. And the lounge thing has become so popular. There are now lounges in major airports you can just buy access to.
Yeah, you can just pay to walk in and drink.
So it's like $50 and you can drink to your heart's desire.
And it's worth it. You talk about bang for your booze buck.
Tell me how that's responsible.
Well,
I do.
I'm trying to have some fun over here. Mr. Responsible.
Is that your argument?
Yeah.
You want a bunch of people that
I'm using his voice.
$50 and they're going to walk in and just drink their faces off?
I want that.
Okay.
But I guess my question also is there would have to be, I mean, everybody's travel time is so different that like what I can understand maybe putting a 2-drink maximum if you're just, it's a quick trip, quick flight somewhere, you know, you're not going to be stuck in an airport or on a flight for all that long. But like if you're somebody that's like traveling internationally or traveling cross country and you have maybe a stop or two where you're gonna be worried about layovers and things like that, I mean, like that's a long time to spread 2 drinks.
That's just too much, Pat.
Okay, so maybe you do it by hours. 2 drinks for every 6 hours you're traveling.
All right, that's I could live with that.
That's fair, right?
Where does that get me to?
It doesn't get you drunk.
No, where does it get me to? It's like a trip.
Let's say, coast to coast. So if you're traveling international, I mean, so like when we flew to Europe, it was 6 hours.
All right.
So, I mean, it was from JFK to London was 6 hours. So halfway through my flight in the middle of the ocean, I would have been able to have another drink.
All right.
Is that fair?
That's not bad.
Okay. I think that's a good compromise. All
right. Okay. See, we came, but if I take a longer flight,
yeah,
I get to start over again.
Yeah. But at that point, it would have.
You're flying to Thailand?
Spaced it out more.
Yeah. Well, let's say I'm going to go, let's say I hit the lotto.
Okay.
I'm going to Hawaii.
Okay.
I'm flying out of here.
Yeah.
I think 2 drinks every 6 hours I should be able to get. That's probably 12 to 14 hours.
Yeah, that's fair. Because you're not going to get drunk 2 drinks every 6 hours.
But I can double those.
Oh. No. That one double would be 2 drinks.
No, but when I order, I get a double.
Yeah, that's 2 drinks.
That's a drink.
That is two
One
drinks.
Glass.
Man. Y'all are ruining stuff.
Who's y'all? It wasn't my idea.
No, it's all y'all. Who's your generation is ruining things.
What is my generation?
Goddamn organic.
Bro, when I
everything's got a backstory. I got a goddamn beer with a pelican doing card tricks. And I can only have one of them, apparently.
When I see those old man wave again, that's two in this break, by the way. You're almost out. When I see those people freaking out on planes, they don't look like me, man. They look like guys your age. I want to shake your hand. I want to shake your hand. That guy wasn't 30.
Now, every time, but I got to say, I've flown a bit in my day.
Sure.
I've never had an, have you?
No. I take it back. When we were coming back from...
I mean, I've been very lucky.
Yeah, no, there was a woman, she got on the plane, she was hammered drunk, got on the plane, there was an issue before we took off, and they escorted her off, so she didn't make it in the air.
They caught her.
Yes, but she would have caused an issue.
I like to think I'm a very responsible drinker. Now.
Again. Yes, there are people that can handle their alcohol. Mm. There are also a lot of people that can't.
All right.
So unless you want to take a test where, you know, the airline watches you drink and sees how you react.
I would sign up for that.
Let's take one more call, 252-WCMF. Ryan's got the last word on CMF. Hey, Ryan, how are you, buddy?
Morning. How are we today?
Good.
How are we doing this morning?
Good.
What would be worse, Pat just regular drunk on the plane or Pat drunk on the plane trying to do his act to try and calm himself down, try and calm the people on the plane? Nothing?
No.
Did I lose you?
No.
Did I lose you?
We heard all of it, Ryan. Ryan, we heard all of it.
I worked on that in the car.
Uh-huh.
Man, all right. You know, I didn't.
You should have a drink. You should try. Yeah, no, have it. Bye, Ryan.
Is he, like, working in between then?
I don't know. Just work on his act. That's what you should do. Oh, you made a mistake, NFL.
What they do?
You made a big mistake.
They poked a bear.
Look, Bills fans are upset, and valid. Valid to be upset with this. Yeah. But this is good news more than it is bad news. And it's funny because the way the headline's written, it makes it sound a hell of a lot different than it actually is.
Okay.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. The Bills kick off the NFL season, their NFL season, a week from Sunday. And all that's left to do is read what everybody has to say about what people think about the upcoming season.
Mm.
Yesterday, a poll came out ranking the most overrated player in the NFL. And the number one overrated player, based on a poll of current NFL players.
Yeah. Wait, so this is like a poll survey, of players? Yeah.
Yes. Was Josh Allen.
Damn.
Joshua Patrick Allen.
So do they give any reasons why?
No, they don't. It's just a straight up poll.
All right.
Yeah. At least if there were, I didn't see reasons that
were
given.
I just saw that what the number shook out to be.
Most overrated player in the NFL, Josh Allen.
I mean, there is some valid points to be made.
You say another word, I will chuck this Sharpie in your giant skull.
Okay, so let's take opening game last year, Monday night against the Jets.
Sure.
He throws three interceptions in that game where they already took out the other quarterback. They should have won that game.
What does that have to do with him?
He threw three interceptions on national TV on opening night.
No, I hear you. I watched on Christmas Day Patrick Mahomes throw four interceptions against the Raiders. Is he the most overrated quarterback
in
the NFL?
No, because he's got three rings, man. You don't.
Shouldn't the most overrated quarterback be the guy that ran out of the tunnel with an American flag ready to start and be this team's savior, only to go down like two plays later?
Great question.
Shouldn't that guy be the most overrated quarterback?
Cited the guy who went down as a reason why Josh Allen is the most...
All the hype was on Aaron Rodgers leading the Jets to victory.
I mean, he hasn't closed out anything yet. You haven't gotten to a championship and won it.
Okay.
You haven't got to the Super Bowl.
Okay, you're really gonna make this. So he's the most. You're saying,
but I mean, he's not perfect.
That's not what the question is. The question is, who's the not most perfect quarterback in the NFL?
So you're saying,
I guess you can make an argument for Josh Allen.
No!
I don't think that he would be the most, though.
All right, so who's the most overrated quarterback who hasn't got a Super Bowl?
Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. You can make an argument for.
Right. I think they said Tua and
Jalen Hurts was Jalen the second
Hurts
quarterback
were in
for the Eagles.
Right. Second place.
But I don't think Jalen Hurts is overrated. And I mean, I wouldn't say Joe Burrow is overrated, but I think there's a better argument for him
so
than Josh
Allen.
So
who would you say is the most overrated quarterback without a Super Bowl?
Justin Herbert.
All right.
The quarterback of the Chargers. And now, here's the thing. You may be listening to this and hear us tell you, you know, the players voted on this, so there has to be some truth to it. Let's keep in mind that same group of players rated Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill as the best player in the NFL, and that's laughable. Because if you're starting a franchise, Josh Allen being named the 12th best player in the NFL this year, Tyreek Hill number one, who are you taking to start your franchise?
Well, you're going to take Josh over Tyreek.
Okay, so then how is he the number one player? Then how is Josh the most overrated player in the NFL? Also important to note.
What's that?
This was a poll of over 1,000 NFL players who were asked this question, who's the most overrated? Josh Allen won with 11 votes.
Yeah.
Ooh, he just squeaked it out.
Pretty no, you, spread
I'm
out.
Saying yeah. less than, that's what, 1%?
I don't know. Something like that.
So it was only 11 players that said Josh Allen was the most overrated player in the NFL. But the headlines yesterday, Josh Allen, most overrated. Gee, I told you.
All right. So
I mean, I guess I kind of knew a quarterback would end up on that list because it's, you know, those are usually the guys who are the most talked about on a team. Makes sense.
Sure.
So you're thinking it's going to put a flame under his
head. Oh, this is the best thing that could have happened to the Bills right now. I mean, a Josh Allen that feels slighted is the most dangerous Josh Allen. And we've seen it over and over again. For example, Josh Allen was named as only an alternate to the Pro Bowl, I believe it was 3 years ago, going into the playoffs. It was the Patriots playoff game at home. And he went out and pitched a perfect game.
Okay, so this is all going to work out.
Oh, it's going to
work out. To the advantage.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Oh, he's
pissed. That's what I'm saying. Bro, piss Josh Allen. Okay. Mark my words, bro. He even referenced it yesterday because not only was he named the most overrated player, he was also named the best trash-talking quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Josh put out on Instagram, awesome, I'm paraphrasing, awesome, I was named the number one trash-talking quarterback, which means he saw the overrated stuff.
I want to know what Josh Allen says. Like, is he like a clean trash talker? Like, remember how they'd mic up Philip Rivers?
Yep.
And he did a lot of trash talking, but it was all like stuff, you know, like PG. I want to know what Josh Allen is saying to other guys when he's, you know, celebrating in that moment.
It's not PG because there's been a couple of times where he's been mic'd up by the NFL, not the Bills. And they've released the audio and there's a lot of bleeps in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of bleeps in there.
Not the golden retriever we thought he was.
But I love that. I mean, you see it.
I'm with you. No, I want to know what he's saying.
You know it ain't clean because you can see the reaction from the guys. Yeah. Even when you just see their mouths moving and their heads bobbing on the field, like you can see in their face, like, do you really just say that?
Uh-oh.
Do you really just say that?
Yeah, he does look like a sweet kid.
Yeah.
Just
I can't picture mean Josh.
Yeah, he's got a baby face.
It's always the ones you got to look out for.
All right, the baby faces.
You know, I'm trying to figure out, like, with these 11 players. Again, we're talking about how Josh Allen was named the most overrated quarterback in a poll of NFL players that was released yesterday. Why they would think he was the most overrated? Because it's not talent. It's not. Like, you can... He's
the most important person to his team.
Without question.
Most player on his team.
In my opinion, he's the second best quarterback in the NFL. I would listen to an argument for Lamar Jackson. Fine, right?
Mm.
But, like, is it embarrassment from those 11 players? Because, like, Josh Allen, for a guy who's overrated, sure as hell makes a lot of players on the opposing team look really stupid.
Makes them look silly.
I mean, he'll blow through them.
Yeah.
He'll juke them out of their jock. He'll hurdle over them. Going further down the road, right? He's also the most trash-talking QB that also has to get under guys' skin.
Okay, all right. He's annoying.
I wonder, is that part of this? And then you turn on the TV and every other commercial during the season is Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, I mean, maybe it's just like, sick of the guy?
All right.
It could also be sometimes when Josh is the most talked about, always seems to be a game right before a bad game.
You think so?
Like... Yeah, because a lot of those games that were on like the biggest stage, he couldn't come up with the win. And I'm not even saying it was his fault.
But that's the difference. It's not a bad game from Josh.
Yeah,
it's the team doesn't
But I think people kind of remember those moments as like, see, you talked him up, and he couldn't follow through. So I don't know if that's also in the back of people's minds.
I mean, maybe. I mean, can you think of a terrible game?
His best games are in bad games.
I understand.
I mean, he has put his defense in some tough situations.
Or he tries to like win it all with one throw,
and then it goes
horribly wrong.
But then it doesn't sometimes.
Right, but those stick out when it does.
No, but if you look at them, see, that's just it. You guys are having bias of memory. If you look at the splits.
Well, so are you, because you're a fan.
No.
You love Josh.
I do love Josh.
Somewhere wearing his little Josh shirt today.
But we all love Josh.
I love this shirt.
I
took me for a moment to know that was Josh Allen.
Do you get the reference?
Yeah, the dude.
From what?
That stupid movie that I think sucks.
It says the dude wins, and it's Josh is the Big Lebowski.
I
love this shirt. Great shirt. Hey, live stream, look at my shirt. No, I mean, look, if you look at the statistics, the splits, he performs better in prime time than
he does.
But nobody
looks at stats.
No, you don't look at stats.
No, most people don't look at stats.
Most people do because fantasy football is the most popular.
What sticks in my mind is the flubs.
Yeah, because you're a dick.
I'm a flubber.
You can't tell me that even as the biggest fan of Josh Allen, there aren't some times where you want to throw a shoe at the television because of Josh Allen.
No, it's the Josh Allen experience. I understand it.
Yeah,
no.
But I guess if you're not a fan, then you may only remember the bad Josh Allen.
No, the point I'm getting at is...
Because when it's bad, it can be pretty bad.
The point I'm getting at, you're becoming a negative Nelly, and I don't like it.
You're asking why people would think this of Josh, and I'm telling you, I don't think it's that... uncommon
and here's
remember
why
the bad times.
You'd be a silly goose because we're too close to this, right? Every NFL franchise goes through this with their quarterback.
Yeah, but people are only seeing Josh in those games because, like, we watch Josh every week. We've seen the great Josh, but to those big time games where he's come up short,
that's what
people remember.
Name one other than the Jets game.
That's the one at 6-0.
That's what I mean. You can't. Like, you want to sit here. I remember games, man.
Oh, okay. The last game against Kansas City when you had him at home and you couldn't close it out.
He had a great game. You missed a field goal.
But you lost. You finally got Kansas City where you wanted them.
Okay.
And you couldn't pull the trigger. And you had 60 minutes to beat Kansas City and you didn't.
So it was Josh Allen's fault that
he's the quarterback.
That we had the 7th and 8th linebacker, one of which that was on the couch 2 weeks before. Like, I mean, don't be an
always
idiot.
An excuse.
Don't be an idiot.
Always an excuse.
The guy, what, threw for 250 yards and 2 touchdowns? See, there you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you made a mistake, NFL.
What'd they do?
You made a big mistake.
They poked a bear.
Look, Bills fans are upset, and valid. Valid to be upset with this. Yeah. But this is good news more than it is bad news. And it's funny because the way the headline's written, it makes it sound a hell of a lot different than it actually is.
Okay.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. The Bills kick off the NFL season, their NFL season, a week from Sunday. And all that's left to do is read what everybody has to say about what people think about the upcoming season. Yesterday, a poll came out ranking the most overrated player in the NFL. And the number one overrated player, based on a poll of current NFL players.
Yeah. Wait, so this is
like
a poll
survey
of players?
Yeah.
Yes. Was Josh Allen.
Bam.
Joshua Patrick Allen.
So do they give any reasons why?
No, they don't. It's just a straight up poll.
All right.
Yeah. At least if there were, I didn't see reasons that were
given. I just saw that what the number shook out to be.
Most overrated player in the NFL, Josh Allen.
I mean, there is some valid points to be made.
You say another word, I will chuck this Sharpie in your giant skull.
Okay, so let's take opening game last year, Monday night against the Jets.
Sure.
He throws 3 interceptions in that game where they already took out the other quarterback. They should have won that game.
What does that have to do with him?
He threw three interceptions on national TV on opening night.
No, I hear you. I watched on Christmas Day Patrick Mahomes throw four interceptions against the Raiders. Is he the most overrated quarterback
in
the NFL?
No, because he's got three rings, man. You don't.
Shouldn't the most overrated quarterback be the guy that ran out of the tunnel with an American flag ready to start and be this team's savior, only to go down like two plays later?
Great question.
Shouldn't that guy be the most overrated quarterback?
Cited the guy who went down as a reason why Josh Allen is the most...
All the hype was on Aaron Rodgers leading the Jets to victory.
I mean, he hasn't closed out anything yet. You haven't gotten to a championship and won it.
Okay.
You haven't got to the Super Bowl and won it.
Okay, you're gonna make this. So he's the most overrated
player.
You're saying it.
But I mean, he's not perfect.
That's not what the question is. The question is, who's the not most perfect quarterback in the NFL?
So you're saying...
I guess you can make an argument for Josh Allen.
No!
I don't think that he would be the most, though.
All right, so who's the most overrated quarterback who hasn't got a Super Bowl? Right?
Justin Herbert. Joe Burrow. You can make an argument for.
Right. I think they said Tua and
Jalen Hurts was
Jalen
the second
Hurts
one, the quarterback
were in
for the Eagles.
Second place.
But I don't think Jalen Hurts is overrated. And I mean, I wouldn't say Joe Burrow is overrated, but I think there's a better argument for him than Josh Allen.
So who would you say is the most overrated quarterback without a Super Bowl?
Justin Herbert.
All right.
The quarterback of the Chargers. Hey, now, here's the thing. You may be listening to this and hear us tell you, you know, the players voted on this, so there has to be some truth to it. Let's keep in mind that same group of players rated Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill as the best player in the NFL, and that's laughable. Because if you're starting a franchise, Josh Allen being named the 12th best player in the NFL this year, Tyreek Hill number one. Mm. Who are you taking to start your franchise?
Well, you're going to take Josh over Tyreek.
Okay, so then how is he the number one player? Then how is Josh the most overrated player in the NFL? Also important to note.
What's that?
This was a poll of over 1,000 NFL players who were asked this question, who's the most overrated? Josh Allen won with 11 votes.
Yeah.
Ooh, he just squeaked it out.
Pretty
no, you, I'm
out.
Saying yeah. less than, that's what, 1%?
I don't know. Something like that.
So it was only 11 players that said Josh Allen was the most overrated player in the NFL. But the headlines yesterday, Josh Allen, most overrated. See, I told you.
I kind of knew a quarterback would end up on that list because it's, you know, those are usually the guys who are the most talked about on a team. Makes sense.
Sure.
So you're thinking it's going to put a flame under his
head. Oh, this is the best thing that could have happened to the Bills right now. I mean, a Josh Allen that feels slighted is the most dangerous Josh Allen. And we've seen it over and over again. For example, Josh Allen was named as only an alternate to the Pro Bowl, I believe it was 3 years ago, going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It was the Patriots playoff game at home. And he went out and pitched a perfect game.
Okay, so this is all going to work out.
Oh, it's going
to
work out.
To the advantage.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Oh, he's
pissed. That's what I'm saying. Bro, piss Josh Allen. Okay. Mark my words, bro. He even referenced it yesterday because not only was he named the most overrated player, he was also named the best trash-talking quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Josh put out on Instagram, awesome, I'm paraphrasing, awesome, I was named the number one trash-talking quarterback, which means he saw the overrated stuff.
I want to know what Josh Allen says. Like, is he like a clean trash talker? Like, remember how they'd mic up Philip Rivers?
Yep.
And he did a lot of trash talking, but it was all like stuff, you know, like PG. I want to know what Josh Allen is saying to other guys when he's, you know, celebrating in that moment.
It's not PG because there's been a couple of times where he's been mic'd up by the NFL, not the Bills. And they've released the audio and there's a lot of bleeps in there.
Oh,
there's a lot of bleeps in there.
Not the golden retriever we thought he was.
But I love that. I mean, see it.
I'm with you. No, I want to know what he's saying.
You know it ain't clean because you can see the reaction from the guys. Yeah. Even when you just see their mouths moving and their heads bobbing on the field, like you can see in their face, like, do you really just say that?
Uh-oh.
Do you really just say that?
Yeah, he does look like a sweet kid.
Yeah.
Just
I can't picture mean Josh.
Yeah, he's got a baby face.
It's always the ones you got to look out for.
All right. The baby faces.
You know, I'm trying to figure out, like, with these 11 players. Again, we're talking about how Josh Allen was named the most overrated quarterback in a poll of NFL players that was released yesterday. Why they would think he was the most overrated? Because it's not talent. It's not. Like, you can... He's
the most important person to his team.
Without question.
Most player in his team.
In my opinion, he's the second best quarterback in the NFL. I would listen to an argument for Lamar Jackson. Fine, right?
Mm.
But, like, is it embarrassment from those 11 players? Because, like, Josh Allen, for a guy who's overrated, sure as hell makes a lot of players on the opposing team look really stupid.
Makes him look silly.
I mean, he'll blow through them. Yeah. He'll juke them out of their jock. He'll hurdle over them. Going further down the road, right?
Mm.
He's also the most trash-talking QB that also has to get under guys' skin.
Okay, all right. I mean, so he's annoying.
I wonder, is that part of this? And then you turn on the TV and every other commercial during the season is Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, I mean, maybe it's just like, sick of the guy?
All right.
It could also be sometimes when Josh is the most talked about, always seems to be a game right before a bad game.
You think so?
Like, yeah, because a lot of those games that were on like the biggest stage, he couldn't come up with the win. And I'm not even saying it was his fault.
But that's the difference. It's not a bad game from Josh. Yeah, it's the team doesn't finish.
I think people kind of remember those moments as like, see, you talked him up and he couldn't follow through. So I don't know if that's also in the back of people's minds.
I mean, maybe. I mean, can you think of a terrible game?
His best games.
No, I understand.
I mean, he has put his defense in some tough situations.
Or he tries to like win it all with one throw, and then it goes horribly wrong.
But then it doesn't sometimes.
Right. So, but those stick out when it does.
No, but if you look at them, see, that's just it. You guys are having bias of memory. If you look at the splits.
Well, so are you, because you're a fan.
No.
You love Josh.
I do love Josh.
Somewhere wears a little Josh shirt today.
We all love Josh.
I love this shirt.
I know.
It took me for a moment to know that was Josh Allen.
Do you get the reference?
Yeah, the dude.
From what?
That stupid movie that I think sucks.
It says the dude wins, and it's Josh is the Big Lebowski.
I
love this shirt. Great shirt. Hey, live stream, look at my shirt. No, I mean, look, if you look at the statistics, the splits, he performs better in prime time than
he does.
But
nobody looks at stats.
No, you don't look at stats.
No, most people don't look at stats.
Most people do, because fantasy football is the most popular.
What sticks in my mind is the flubs.
Because you're a dick.
I'm a flubber.
You can't tell me that even as the biggest fan of Josh Allen, there aren't some times where you want to throw a shoe at the television because of Josh Allen.
No, it's the Josh Allen experience. I understand it.
Yeah,
no.
But I guess if you're not a fan, then you may only remember the bad Josh Allen.
No, the point I'm getting at is...
Because when it's bad, it can be pretty bad.
The point I'm getting at, you're becoming a negative Nelly, and I don't like it.
You're asking why people would think this of Josh, and I'm telling you, I don't think it's that uncommon.
And here's
remember the bad times.
You'd be a silly goose, because we're too close to this, right? Every NFL franchise goes through this with their quarterback.
Yeah, but people are only seeing Josh in those games, because like we watch Josh every week. We've seen the great Josh, but to those big time games where he's come up short, what people remember.
Name one other than the Jets game.
That's the one that sticks out.
That's what I mean. You can't. Like, you want to sit here. I remember games, man.
Oh, okay. The last game against Kansas City when you had him at home and you couldn't close it out.
He had a great game. You missed a field goal.
You finally got Kansas City where you wanted them.
Okay.
And you couldn't pull the trigger. So, and you had 60 minutes to beat Kansas City and you didn't.
So it was Josh Allen's fault that
he's the quarterback.
That we had the seventh and eighth linebacker, one of which that was on the couch 2 weeks before. Like, I mean, don't be
always
an idiot.
Always an excuse.
Don't be an idiot.
Always an excuse.
The guy, what, threw for 250 yards and two touchdowns? See, there you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.